Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate. Who do you think will win the football later?
That's a tough one to call. First thing I would say to you is ignore all the paper talk and them TV pundits in their fancy suits. Sorry, son, I didn't mean you. Listen, if you want a sure winner, put your money on... Oh, no! Sandra's back and I forgot to take the bins out.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, I'm locked out.
Hello again, we come around to another week of looking across the Spanish footballing news here on Eye on the Liga, brought to you by BetVictor. I'm, as always, Ollie Wilson, joined once again by Jason Pettigrove. Jason, how you doing, mate? Pleasure to chat with you once more.
I'm all right now. I'm much drier than I was about 2 or 3 hours ago. It's been absolutely wet as hell here, but all good. Much the better
Lovely.
For hearing your voice as well.
I'm glad you sound a bit like... Well, you don't sound like a drowned sewer rat, but I'm glad to hear that you're resembling that in some way, shape or form, because it's cold as hell where I am. And although I've got clear blue skies and, you know, generally a bit of sunshine during the day, it's not at its warmest on the other side of the planet. So I'm glad to hear that the English summer is finally going after everything
another,
I saw.
It wouldn't be another Ollie day that you're on. See what I did there? Ollie day?
Ha 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 ha. Every day's an Ollie day when you mean, mate. No, it's this is work as always. I think you have this idea that I go off on holiday all the time. Firstly, I don't make anywhere near enough money to be able to do that. And secondly, this is a hard slog. I mean, yesterday was spent at a laptop for a good few hours trying to research 30 different players for 8 different South American football teams.
My heart bleeds for you, Ollie.
I think you should, to be honest. I really should.
Pass me the violin.
Pass me a whiskey, man, or something. Jeez. no, it's great fun to be out in Buenos Aires once again, that's for sure. It's definitely different. But it does mean that I'm a little bit behind on things like transfer rumours and ongoings around European football, because obviously I wake up 4 hours late. And here's one. Before we get into the topics of today, Jace, which I know you wanted to look at, Cucurella. Going to Getafe from Barca after only being called back from Eibar. We were going to look at Atletico, we're going to look at De Ligt, and we're going to look at Sevilla's transfer window as well on the show today. But, where, I mean, this kind of comes into point two, I guess. Kieran Trippier. I was listening to a podcast on Tuesday. There was mumblings that Kieran Trippier might be going to Atletico Madrid. Nothing really concrete. And considering we have so many rumours flying around of transfers that haven't gone through or have taken too long to go through, this kind of came out of the blue a little bit. Bit surprising, surely.
Well, I'm surprised Spurs want to get rid of him. I mean, obviously, Pochettino knows something that we clearly don't. But I've always rated him, actually, as a fullback. I suppose you can look at the Champions League final and say he was a bit disappointing. One or two other games. But, I mean, he attacks... He's sort of full of beans, if I can put it like that. He never stops. He's a typical Simeone player in many respects. He'll bomb forward. He likes getting involved on the defensive side. So I actually see it as quite a sensible move. I've been having chats with a few friends of mine who've also sort of said, you know, I can't believe it. Why would he go there? But actually, when you break it down, it does make quite a lot of sense for him. And so I'm just not sure why Spurs would have let him go, to be honest.
Does it make that much sense for Trippier, though, considering English players and what happens to them when they go abroad? Very few are able to succeed. And I just wonder... I wonder what's happened between Trippier and Tottenham.
Yeah, I don't know. Could we sort of flip the argument and say that perhaps Atletico play in a bit more of a sort of a British style, if we can put it like that, without being sort of too negative... using that term. I mean, it's a very physical style that they play, very attack minded, and I mean that's exactly how Trippier plays. So, you know, I take the point that when English players go abroad, most of the time they don't fare too well. But then, okay, let Trippier be the standard bearer. Let him be the one that turns that on its head. For him personally, I don't see it being anything other than a good move, but I would like to get to the bottom of why they've allowed to let him go just before the season starts.
Okay, keys to success for an English player in Spain, Jace. There's got to be a few things that Trippier needs to do to be able to embed himself and really acclimatise to being in Madrid. One thing is always the language, obviously his press conference, because it's kind of a move, as I say, that's caught quite a few people just off guard slightly this week, was done in English.
Yeah.
Unlike Aaron Ramsey, for instance, who's had a wealth of time to pick up a bit of Italian and spoke a bit of Italian in his press conference with Juventus this week. But what are the other keys that Trippier needs, aside from language, for instance, to be able to embed himself into Atletico Madrid, a club that's changing quite a lot week by week at the moment this summer?
I think it sort of sits alongside language. It's a sort of embedding oneself in the culture. And by that I mean the Spanish culture as a whole and also the culture of the club. I think far too many players from England go abroad and it's sort of almost there has to be a pride in being an Englishman abroad, I suppose, but you know, you don't move abroad and then take on board all of the English customs. Surely, you know, the language is the main part of it. Gareth Bale, as far as we're aware, still hasn't really immersed himself in the language, still finds it difficult, and he's been there for what, 5-6 years now. So I think that really is the main one. But then I think it's just enjoying what Spain is about. It's feeling comfortable in the surroundings and just immersing yourself in the whole thing. And then obviously from the professional perspective, it's being the right fit stylistically for the club that you're playing for and doing a good job week in, week out. It's not difficult, but there's so many players.
Well, he does, as you say. Go on, Jace.
And so there's so many players that have gone there and have bombed, really, which is a bit of a surprise, really.
It's just that Britishness walking around with a passport going, excuse me, we used to own here, thank you. We should all speak my language. Thank you very much. Come on through. I can't imagine Trippier being exactly like that, but certainly it's going to be a test, the language barrier, as it always is for every British player that goes abroad, and it seems to be more of a trouble than any other player going anywhere else in the world, it seems. But obviously, best of luck to Kieran Trippier, because big fan of his, had a slight World Cup hangover last season, wasn't as good as perhaps he had been in previous years, but certainly was nailed down Tottenham Hotspur fullback.
I think the motivation for him as well is obviously people say out of sight, out of mind in terms of England. So there's his motivation right there, doing the business week in and week out that makes him a shoo-in for the England side.
Well, is he guaranteed to start? Because you would imagine so with the number of changes going on and the money they've spent to bring him in, and just in general the quality of player that he is, you would have thought he would be the first fullback on the team sheet now at Atletico Madrid, who, as we've mentioned, have had a pretty rock and roll summer transfer window this year. Antoine Griezmann, of course, we were debating last week. Well, I mean, we weren't debating, Jace. I was trying to force you to spill the beans about the Antoine Griezmann move before it had officially been announced on this podcast, and you were very smart and said no, we'll keep it all legit, thank you very much. Especially as I was chatting to somebody who used to work for Real Madrid this week, and he was telling me how he one summer was asked very quickly to churn out 5 or 6 different pieces about Francesco Totti for the club website. And then the move never took place, obviously. So it's, even if you're asked to do the copy and do all the setup work, it's not 100% sure. This one, though, was pretty much nailed on. OMG, some websites are going with for that Barca front line now of Ousmane Dembele, Lionel Messi and Antoine Griezmann are going to be, you'd expect to be the front three. There's still rumours Neymar's going to come in, obviously. But let's talk about Atleti first. Griezmann gone, Lucas Hernandez gone. Rodri gone, of course, to Manchester City. A lot of money has come in, though, so they've got cash to play with for sure. Obviously, Diego Godin moving away as well, gone on a free transfer to Inter Milan, when Fran and Felipe Luis have left the club too in the last 12 months or so. This is a new-look Atleti. Joao Felix, it's cost a lot of money for a 19-year-old. Marcos Llorente, somebody that didn't really cut the mustard at Real Madrid. Perhaps they didn't get a fair chance either, 24-year-old. Kieran Trippier, Felipe Lenan Lodi, coming in from Atlético Paranaense, who I do really like actually as a left back, the Brazilian coming in. There's not many standout names though, aside from the money spent on João Félix to fill in those gaps. But do you think it's been a good?
I'm going to take issue with that straight away. Actually, I think Marcos Llorente. Marcos Llorente for me is a fabulous player. He's obviously not quite in the league of Rodri, and no one's suggesting that he is. But he's young, he's hungry. He showed to me at Real Madrid when he was given the chance, which wasn't that often, that he is the sort of player that can dictate the midfield, dictate the rhythm of the side. So I actually think that that is a very, very astute buy. Also, Mario Hermoso, who signed from Espanyol, he had a fantastic campaign last season. I think he was one of the most highly rated in terms of, you know, his defending and ball winning and everything else. So he's obviously been signed. That's a great buy. João Félix, I mean, I don't really know too much about him, if I'm honest. Obviously, I've read a lot of the stuff that we see on the internet and what comes in the papers. For well over €100 million for 19 years of age, I do wonder if that's a bit of a risk. But then I guess, you know, the market that we're in nowadays, when you're getting people paying £50 million plus for Brighton defenders, with the greatest of respect, when you put it like that, I guess it doesn't seem too much. There are other players that they've gone and bought as well. Hector Herrera is a centre mid from Porto, who's got experience, slightly older as well. When you looked back a few weeks ago and you saw who Atleti were losing, and then you thought obviously that Griezmann was going to go, even though it took longer than perhaps we expected, you'd sit there and you think, how on earth are Atleti going to not necessarily survive, but how are they going to do as well as they have done in the last few seasons by losing all of those players? And now it's sort of turned around. There's very strong rumours that James Rodriguez will be the icing on the cake. I know that is a deal that's being talked about at the moment. I mean, if they got him as well, what a fantastic summer they've ended up having, despite losing all of those big names.
Well, that would be, I think, a massive purchase for the club in terms of having a star man and a big name to fill in, take that Griezmann role. Secondly, a player that can create countless number of chances and finish them himself too. I still really like James Rodriguez. I thought it was a real shame what happened to him at Real Madrid, getting turfed out in the end. I think he's done really well at Bayern Munich over the last couple of seasons. And coming back to Spain, coming back to Atleti, perhaps he'll have a bit more fire to show that he can cut the mustard in La Liga, which is perfect for somebody like Simeone. Of course, there's the South American connection there, that intensity that comes from both playing for Colombia and Argentina and being from those countries, not to stereotype too much. But I think both of those characters together could build a really, really fiery dressing room. I like Felipe coming in from Porto, as you mentioned, for sure. Solid centre-back that can come in and anchor things. I'm just not sure yet. There's still the question around Jan Oblak too. Rumours around him have gone quiet just for the moment.
No. I've not heard anything with regard to Oblak. I mean, I suppose you could look at it and say there's a lot of new people to bed in, and they've really got to try and hit the ground running, and that may not happen. But you know,
they've not done it in the way Atleti normally do it. They've not, as you mentioned, that it's an immediate change rather than a bleeding players in and out, yeah, as they go. Simeone's and people lined up.
Simeone's a studious operator, isn't he? He's the one guy that I always think of that knows exactly what he wants, where he wants it, and arguably most of the time he gets it. And He develops this siege mentality with all of his players. They all want to do well for him. And that is something that not many sides have. You know, even just thinking off the top of my head, I can't really think of anyone else that springs to mind straight away that's like him in the way he galvanises his players. So I think, you know, all of those new signings coming in, some of them have definitely got a point to prove, which plays right into the way that he will get them fired up. So I think they can approach the season with some renewed optimism there.
A stronger side or a weaker side than it was this time 12 months ago?
On paper, a weaker side. But, you know, who's to say? You know, let's give them a couple of months to bed in and see where they are. I mean, I think...
No, let's make our judgments now, Jason. We haven't seen a ball get kicked yet, but let's damn them or put them up on a pedestal right away this summer. Come on.
I'm going to keep them up there. I think it's a fascinating summer for them. So I'm going to say that Simeone's going to pull the rabbit out of the hat again.
Okay, let's talk about Sevilla then. Another side in great transition. Lopetegui coming in, of course, as manager, taking the reins this July. Helped, of course, by the man in the back room, Monchi, who will be who has been wheeling and dealing this summer so far. Number of players coming in. A number of quite good players as well, I will add. I really like Lucas Ocampos. Heard good things. I haven't seen enough of the fellow they brought in from Bordeaux, Koundé, the centre-back. Luke de Jong from PSV, again, somebody who's got a fair bit of experience and is a solid centre-forward as well, a decent threat going forward. There's promise there for Lopetegui.
Well, there's other players, again, you've not mentioned, so let me go through a couple of others. Sergio Reguilón, who, in my opinion, as I've said it before, should really be Real Madrid's left-back of choice ahead of Marcelo, but obviously that's not going to happen.
So only on loan.
It may only be on loan, but I still, you know, it's a great loan signing for the season. Oliver Torres, who was at Atletico Madrid before he went to Porto, which is where he played under Lopetegui, and also Lopetegui's seen him in the Spain under 21 side. And someone that's gone under the radar for a lot of people, but is a very solid central midfielder, is Juan Jordan from Eibar, when they signed him. Again, they've lost a few players in Pablo Sarabia, a paltry fee that PSG managed to pick him up for, and he was one of their best players last year. Quincy Promes, Luis Muriel, I think, were the other high-profile departures. Andre Silva going back to AC Milan probably would have caused waves 6 months ago, but he was so far off the pace in the end that barely registered a ripple. But again, I think actually Lopetegui, as a project, he's going to enjoy it. Tactically, the players should learn a lot from him. He's great, particularly with the younger players. The only slight issue that I have, well, there's two actually. The first one is, as a coach at club level, Lopetegui's never really done the business. He's always been fantastically good at national level. And also from Sevilla's point of view, he'll be their 14th coach in 19 years. And Joaquin Caparrós was there for 5 of those, and Unai Emery was there for 3.5. So that means the other 12 between them have only lasted 10.5 years. So in my opinion, that has to change. They have to give him the time, you know, to get his feet under the table, to impose his style. Because I think he's at the right club now. I think, you know, Monchi understands what he's got in Lopetegui. He's given him exactly who he wants. Now let him get on with it. Don't sort of think in 6 months' time, well, actually, oh, it's not working out, as has happened with a couple of managers recently. You know, give him a year, 18 months. I don't want to get back into the chat we had a few months ago as well, where we said, you know, in this day and age, are we allowed to give managers that length of time? I think they have to in this case. Otherwise, it's always going to be the same old Sevilla, 2 steps forward, 1 back. Give him a year, 18 months, and then see where we're at then.
Time and patience then, you think, with Lopetegui. I mean, if he's been given all the tools that he wants and Monchi's gone out and got what Lopetegui wants, then that's fine. You always wonder, perhaps, if it's kind of the other way around, though, if maybe Monchi buys the players and now Lopetegui's going to have to deal with it. I personally don't know enough about the Sevilla backroom to be able to make that judgment myself. I don't think they're going to lose too much in the departure of Quincy Proms, who always promised a lot but never really produced. And Sarabia going, yeah, is a bit tougher on this Sevilla side because such a lovely creative spark in the middle of the park.
I think not.
But yeah, they've not lost much, and they've brought in a fair bit of cash, which they've rapidly spent, to be honest. Yeah. But they've sorted themselves out.
I don't know the backroom sort of position, and I don't profess to know that at all. But I would surmise that they'd be a lot less like Real Madrid in the sense of Monchi won't be telling Lopetegui who he can and can't play, which we know goes on at Real Madrid. And I think that will be very refreshing from Lopetegui's point of view. If he's, you know, it's just time he needs. I think, you know, he knows he's got the right players there, some of whom he's worked with before. So, like you said a few minutes ago, just give him time.
What about the transfer policy and the wheelings and dealings behind the scene at Barcelona then, Jace? Because it's a bit all over the place this summer. Mm. And nobody likes to see a big football club where things start going wrong in the back room, and that can so easily bleed into things going wrong on the pitch. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be a disastrous season for Barca. There's not going to be any capitulation. They've gone out and they've bought quality at the end of the day with someone like Griezmann. But there's just been a few things going on. I think the Neymar transfer rumours, and whether there's any influence from Barcelona or not in that, whether they bring him back or not, is one thing that is problematic. The other thing is something that that happened this week with Cucurella, going to Getafe after being brought back from Eibar. You said to me before we started recording this, actually yesterday, that this is a player that should definitely be looking to take over that role from Jordi Alba in the fullback position for Barcelona, and would be bled into this side, should be bled into this side now, and have the chance to test Jordi Alba in that sense.
Yeah, look, there's the official reason that's
reports
been given,
that I've read that Valverde doesn't like the youngster Cucurella, and that's why he's been moved on. But this is somebody.
The official reason
is
that there's no. The official reason is there's no space in the squad for him next season, and yet, so we understand, the club are willing to then go out and spend 30 million euros on Betis's junior Firpo. Now, we know what the salary situation is like at Barcelona. It's crippling at the moment, and it will only get worse if Neymar signed. We understand that, you know, Barcelona definitely do want him. I think my problem is that Barcelona always held great stock in their sort of Mescaun club strapline more than a club. And it was always about La Masia and bringing players through. And I know, unfortunately, everyone's always going to hark back to Guardiola and that era, and that's never going to happen again. People have to get away from that. But it's gone so far the other way now that it's probably going to take another 10 years to correct it. I think, you know, Cucurella was bought by Eibar for 2 million. Barca bought him back for 4, and now they're selling him for 10 to Getafe. He's a player that knows the club. He's been schooled at La Masia since 2012. He joined from Espanyol. He's quick, he's dynamic, he's aggressive. He's got a good passing range. He did very well at Eibar last year, as we saw when he played against Barcelona and Real Madrid in two of the games that were televised. You know, why go out and spend all that money on a player that probably won't play any more than Cucurella will do? And if it's a backup player, you know, Cucurella's only 20 years of age. He's got plenty of time ahead, and he will push Jordi Alba on. So there's that. And then obviously flipping the argument just a little bit to talk about De Ligt, it's actually done Barca a favour in terms of freeing up cash to go after other targets, even though many people, you know, don't believe they're targets that are needed. Maybe it's a short-sighted move from the player himself, because Barcelona were clearly the better fit for him stylistically. And having said that, as much as I don't like the way his agent Raiola does business, his assertion that a central defender needs to move to Italy at some point, I actually find myself agreeing with that a little bit. It's like the Catenaccio style might actually appeal to De Ligt, even though it's different to what he's been used to. I mean, I'd be slightly worried, actually, that the 150 million euro clause that's been put in won't mean that Raiola will move him on in a year or two and take another slice of the pizza then. But what it does, that move actually frees up a spot in the defence. And Jean-Claire Todibo, the young Frenchman at Barcelona, is thought of very highly indeed. Now, had De Ligt come in, he would have no doubt been sent out on loan somewhere. Now he becomes the fourth centre-back. And I actually think, as long as he's given the minutes that I'd like to say he deserves, I think I'm not going to say he's a real find, because everyone knows who he is, but I just think he'll be a real asset to Barcelona. He'll blossom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not going to be too much of a problem with him at Juventus now, though, is it, Jace? I mean, at the end of the day.
Well, he's getting £300,000 a week, isn't he? I mean, I suppose you don't turn that sort of money down, but we all like to think we would go with, you know, we'd take, in that case, Barcelona, because it's the best fit. But if someone waves that much money in front of your nose, I think it's very hard.
It's only the best fit, though, for, in, say, your opinion. I mean, if I was a centre-back or a defender of any sort and I wanted to go somewhere to learn the art of playing defensive football, and I'm not saying that Italian football is defensive football, because I don't agree with that in any way, shape or form. That's a that's an old cliche that's been slapped onto Italian football for since the 1990s, and they were experts at it. But you look at a lot of Serie A games week in, week out, there's goals everywhere, and it's great to watch. It's fantastic football. But what I'm saying is, if you want to learn from the best, go to Italy. If you're a defender, that's where you should be going to learn a trade, particularly as a centre-back, particularly at somewhere like Juventus, where you can learn from the experience of Bonucci and Chiellini as teammates, and then players around that club who there are plenty of legends both at Milan, at Inter, at Juventus, where you can learn how to play the art of defending near to perfection. So, it can look great that it would be an ideal place to come in and get game time and ply a trade at Barcelona. I think, though, for a player who's already got great talent like De Ligt, going to Italy makes a hell of a lot of sense as a defender. And obviously the money is quite a nice little thing as well. It's not changed the odds, that's for sure. Barca's slightly tumultuous summer. Tumultuous is a bit of an over-the-top statement as well to make. But BetVictor, 8-13 odds on for Barca to be La Liga title winners as it stands at the moment. Real Madrid, the closest rivals at BetVictor, 5-4 on Real Madrid. I'd take that, to be honest, 5-4 on Real Madrid. Atletico Madrid right now on BetVictor, 16-1. Oof. Which isn't bad either if you think they fancy testing and getting another La Liga title crown themselves. It drops off dramatically after that with the likes of Valencia, Sevilla and co. But if you are going to go, please go to betvictor.com. Gamble responsibly. You must be 18 years or over. Odds are subject to change. And for more information on Gambling Aware, please visit begambleaware.org. Jace, we've kind of covered everything we wanted to today, I think.
I think so. And no doubt we'll do it again next week.
I'm sure you've got some more musings up there in your... I was about to say locked in your head of hair, but I don't know how thinning it is at the moment. I'm just looking at your Skype picture right now.
It's been taken off this morning, so I'm as bald as you are, my friend.
Why are you complaining about the weather then? It's literally like water's off a duck's back, rain falling on your head at this moment. Then you haven't got a problem at all. There's no product in there to ruin, that's for sure. Nope. Cheers for joining, man. Thanks. Always fun to chat a bit of Spanish football with you.
Cheers, mate. Talk to you soon.
And we'll be back probably next week at some point. I like this summer thing. We don't really have an urgency to go out on a Monday. We can find some time in the week and just crack one out at some point. Anyway, we will be back probably in about 7 days' time. Maybe earlier, maybe later. Who knows? Remember, get on SoundCloud to find more of the podcast. Don't miss Keith Hackett's interview that we had last week. Fantastic chat about VAR, even if it wasn't about Spanish football. And remember, for all the odds and gambling in the footballing world, get on to betvictor.com. Until next week, take care. Enjoy all the football that's coming your way. Maybe try and catch some Copa Libertadores next week. I don't know. There's pretty cool people doing commentary on that. Take care. Have a good one.